All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom. Affected and elected. Part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Makes sense, right? What's going on? It is the day after. Merry Christmas after. Happy holidays after. I'm completely lost. I don't even know what day it is. I mean, I do. It's Saturday, but my time clock is all screwy. Yeah, so how'd it go? Is everybody, you know, on top of the fact of, you know, COVID and all the stuff that's going on? You know, Christmas and the holidays can be a lot of stress. And I admitted, I have a lot of fear when it comes to Christmas and the holidays. I have a lot of insecurity about money. I have gotten better, but it's taken some planning. You know, I don't remember everything I've talked about, so I'll just, you know, it's Saturday morning. I'm doing a podcast with my buddy Tiff at 9:30. I got a little time. I thought I would just sit and chat it out a bit. But I've admitted and shared before that I have a lot of financial insecurity. I haven't quite achieved that promise, you know, to not have financial insecurity. And but it doesn't mean that I can't do things to help with that. Like, and I don't know if I've shared this, but you know, I try to save money throughout the year. I, you know, I'm in a tip business. I do hair and I get tips, and I usually just kind of put them in a cup or a jar, and I claim them, of course, but you know, I put them in a jar or something, and when it gets time to, as we get closer to Christmas, we usually try to set a little budget, and I've usually hopefully saved all that cash for Christmas, and which I did this year. I've shared, I think, before that our budget for each, we have three kids, our budget for each kid is $300. Whether that's a lot or a little, I don't know. I would imagine that that is not very much compared to a lot of people. But for us, you know, balancing out, you know, our financial situation, balancing out, you know, how spoiled our kids are or how spoiled they are not, you know, to us $300 seems like a fair. And of course, if we go over a little bit, that's fine. But at least it gives me an idea of what, I mean, listen, could we do $2,000? Could we do $600 a kid? Probably. But who are we, who's the real big gift going to in that case? I would imagine it's going to me. And that gift in my mind being that I'm awesome. I'm giving my kids a lot of stuff. They're super happy. I'm feeling like, you know, just hit it out of the park. Who's the gift? I mean, who's getting what here? If I spent $600 on each kid, and I can tell you with $300 on each kid, they had a great, everybody, there was no complaining yesterday. Now, of course, you know, we probably exceed a little bit over 300, but it gives us the idea. I mean, I know we bought a few extra things, and in fact, and then, you know, we put everything out, and then, you know, we all lay in bed going, did I do enough? You know, we have all these rules in place, right? And, you know, we're trying to follow them, but then we question ourselves. I know that, you know, Christmas Eve, I'm in bed, I'm like, because, you know, I've had hands-on now. I've had a hands-on experience with these presents. Put everything under the tree. Everybody's gotten everything. And then I'm laying in bed. I'm like, did I do enough? And the one child that got a little screwed over this year was my older son, David. You know, he had asked for an Apple Watch. And so there you go, right there. That Apple Watch, I think, was like $320, something like that. So he exceeded his $300 limit, which is fine. I think we actually got him some slippers, too. But he got two things. This is that year where you're kind of transitioning from a lot of a little kid stuff to, you know, a young adult kind of thing. And he really wanted the Apple Watch. So he blew his budget in one swipe. And But as a parent, you're like, geez, he can't just get one thing. Because when he asked for the Apple Watch, I'm like, okay, that's cool. I like that. Because he's running and he's got some, you know, he's excited to take on the world and he's going to do some cool stuff with his Apple Watch. He runs and he wants to stream his watch to his earbuds and stuff. So I have no complaints about him. But, you know, it's that year and he got one gift and I'm feeling bad. I'm like, oh. And then, the little kids are like, they're so funny, my little kids. I mean, they're 8 and 9. And they're just so busy. They're like, they have this whole communication system between them, you know, behind the scenes. And I get up and somebody, and I knew, my wife was like, because we got my daughter a bike and we got Sam a gaming chair. And she's like, let's keep them in the bedroom so that if they get up in the middle of the night, they won't see him. And I go, that's the fun of it. That's the best part. Is when you used to wake up in the middle of the night and you'd see all the stuff and the lights and you'd be like, oh. So, of course, we put it out there and I get up in the middle of the night because I'm a little curious to see. So someone has been up, and it was the kids, the little ones, and they've moved all the presents into the correct piles. So Sam's got his pile, Teresa's got her pile, me and my wife have our pile, and then David has his pile. And I walk over, and Sam is this. It's like 4 a.m. Sam's over there on the computer playing a video game or something. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, go back to bed. I'm like, dude, go back to bed. He's like, okay. And as he's walking back to his bedroom, he goes, you know, Daddy, David only got one present. I was like, oh, brother. Even they're taking his gift inventory. So, you know, I'm like, oh, brother, and stressed out and didn't get enough. But I can tell you, it all worked out because the reality is that kids are, like, we'd had this conversation. You can get an Apple Watch, but just know that's going to be, you know, it's going to be the kind of the, you know, what do they say, shot your wad, so to speak. And he's like, that's no problem. That's what I want. That's what I'd like to get. So we'd had a conversation. He didn't forget it. But my insecurity, love me, be, let me be your favorite, you know, comes roaring into the room. And I got to check it because I will feel bad. And this happens to me every year with Christmas. So the fact that it's over, whew, made it. And I can tell you, my kids, everybody was happy. Everybody was happy. Actually, the one that probably, actually, see, that was, I almost started listing off people that probably weren't happy. There's nobody that wasn't happy. They were all excited. They all had a wonderful Christmas. And, yeah, super blessed. So I hope everyone had a great Christmas. On to the next, right? On to the next event, New Year's. Yeah. No. I think that one's a wash, too. It's all a wash. What are we going to do? You know, it's... You know, this is a time for me really where it's good to, I have to practice staying in the moment. I have to really stay in the moment. I have to remember that because I can get caught up, you know, in the news and in all the stuff and you know, the speculation and what people are, you know, saying or thinking. And it just allows me, you know, if I don't check myself, to wreck myself. And I don't want to do that. You know, I was watching there, you know, there was an explosion in Nashville yesterday, and that's awful. The guy's like, this tragedy, we will get to the bottom of this tragedy. And I'm like, oh, whoa, how many people died? And he's there's like, nobody died. I mean, they said a couple people got knocked to the ground, which is bad. You know, you don't need to be getting knocked down. I'm like, oh, I guess we're getting back to the way life used to be where we just blew up shit. And, you know, I don't know if you heard about this story, but the, at 5:30 in the morning, because someone said to me yesterday, I think that bomb went off, I think they wanted it to go off, before I had heard anything about this, somebody had told me, they said, oh, the bomb went off at 6:30 in the morning. I think that the terrorists wanted the bomb to go off at 6:30 in the evening. It just didn't go off at the right time. So nobody was injured. I'm like, really? So I end up seeing the news last night, and the news that I saw said that the police officer in Nashville were called to a call of shots fired at 5:30. They went down to the area and they found this trailer, motorhome, something parked, and a recording blaring out saying a bomb's going to blow up in 15 minutes. Like a warning. Go away, this thing is going to blow. And they were able to like evacuate everybody and get everybody out of the way, and then the thing blew up. That doesn't seem terrorist to me. Maybe. New, softer, kinder, softer terrorist, I don't know. Most terrorists that blow up stuff usually don't warn everybody beforehand. So what? What's going on? Maybe they just wanted to blow up their restaurant. I don't know. Blow up some property to get out of it. I don't know. It's very strange. So before, you know, you allow people to go on this, down this rabbit hole of terrorism and fear, and maybe it was, I don't know, but usually most of those kind of situations don't have a warning that blares out the bomb's going to blow up in 15 minutes. I mean, usually. I did a pod, I don't know if I've ever told you guys, but I do, I have another podcast called The Rehoboth Social. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out. You know, it's one small business helping another. I did a podcast on, I guess Christmas Eve, with my buddy James, the doctor. And, you know, I met James, we've been friends, so I met James through sobriety. He's got a lot of time, 20-something years, maybe even 30, I don't even know. But James is one of those people that, you know, put his hand out when I came into the rooms. We began a friendship in 97. We began a running friendship in 99, and we did the podcast, and it was great. We just shared a lot of that, how we quit smoking, how we started our running journey. We ran the other day. We've been, my buddy and James and I have been running for 20-something years, and it's just a good podcast. Go check it out. It's part of our network, socialpodcastnetwork.com. It's called The Rehoboth Social. Check it out. Look for the one I did with James Keegan. It's a great reflection on two guys who have been sober for, you know, for a long time, and the roles we've played in each other's lives to help each other stay sober. It's a good one. So go check it out. All right, I wanted to do a quick read. And then we'll let you go and have a great day. Let's see what we got here. How was everybody else's Christmas? Did anybody struggle? Was there any slips, falls, trips, stumbles? Are you okay? Oh, this looks good. December 26th. Accepting success or failure? Furthermore, how should we come to terms with seeing failure or success? Wait a minute. Excuse me. Furthermore, how shall we come to terms with seeming failure or success? Can we now accept and adjust to either without despair or pride? Can we accept poverty, sickness, loneliness, and bereavement with courage and serenity? Can we steadfastly content ourselves with the humbler, yet sometimes more durable satisfactions when the brighter, more glittering achievements are denied us? After I found AA, I stopped drinking. Oh, wait a minute. After I found AA and stopped drinking, it took a while before I understood why the first step contained two parts, my powerless over alcohol and my life's unmanageability. In the same way, I believed for a long time that in order to be in tune with the 12 steps, it was enough for me to carry this message to alcoholics. That was rushing things. I was forgetting that there were a total of 12 steps and that the 12 steps also had more than one part. Eventually, I learned that it was necessary for me to practice these principles in all areas of my life and work in all the steps thoroughly. I not only stay sober and help someone else to achieve sobriety, but I also transform my difficulty with living into joy of living. Jiminy Christmas, I didn't know I was going to be reading that much. It is a go read that. December the 26th, accepting success or failure. You know, one of the things, and I've talked about this, and I talked about this in the podcast I did with James, is, you know, understanding things rightly, the word rightly. I didn't even know that was a word, rightly. But that is a very important word. When you live in the shit for so long and you finally come out, you feel like you're living amongst the angels, right? Because it's been so dark. It's been so extreme that anything other than that feels like you're just killing it. And the next thing you know, you want to save the world. You know, I shared the story about my ex-father-in-law when he figured out that he had celiac. Everybody needed to be wheat-free. Gluten was killing all of you. He was going to save the world at no expense. And, you know, that gets tough on relationships. And you know, gluten never got you put in jail. So, you know, you buy into it a little bit, but the point is that you all of a sudden feel like you have to spread the word. And sometimes that can be tainted with a little bit of self, ego, pride. I remember telling him, I'm fine. No, you're not. You don't even know. You don't even know how bad you feel. I'm like, oh, great. And it was the same thing when I got sober. You shouldn't drink. It's so bad for you. Look, I don't have a drinking problem. Beat it. Practice these principles in all our affairs. You know, I like how it said that. You know, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. There's a lot to that step, and I agree. You know, it's how unmanageable our lives have become. And, you know, and how much alcohol had a hold on us. It's admitting to both of them. The problem for me was that my life wasn't that unmanageable. I had no life. I had nothing. All I managed was lies and excuses. All I managed was how I could not take responsibility for anything. You know, that's no life to manage. My life did not become unmanageable until I got sober. And what I mean is that my life came back and I wasn't sure how to manage it. You know, they say, don't do anything big in the first year. Are you kidding me? This is the best year I've ever had. Don't have a relationship in the first year. Are you kidding me? This is the first opportunity I've had to have a decent relationship. I'm just warning you, don't do it. I got this. Look, I'm not drinking. I'm better. You know, that's how my first marriage started, really. You know, when that first relationship I got into in the first year, which I was told not to do, didn't go well, I was devastated. I hadn't dealt with that. And I definitely hadn't dealt with it without anything to deal with it with. Alcohol or drugs. You know, I got sober because I drank too much, but I have a lot of different problems. I definitely have relationship problems. I definitely don't know how to handle them, or I didn't. It's still a challenge. Surrender, you know, that's what those first three steps, you know. Surrendering and then creating a relationship with something other than me, a power higher than me. A doorknob or whatever they say. You know, there was a lot of other stuff I had to realize. But the first time that I got sober, I was like, yeah. I did all the lip service. I read the steps. We went back and forth. But all I could think about was, look, I don't drink anymore. I can meet better women. I can get better jobs. You know, I was diagnosed bipolar a long time ago. I thought that was all because of the drugs, and it's really not. There's an extreme side of me. I've always said, that was the first thing when I got sober. Tell me I did a good job. I want to be the president of the company. Tell me I did a bad job, and I want to jump off a bridge. How do I fix that? The other steps. Well, listen, I hope everyone's having a great day. There's a lot to this. Hang in there. Get a sponsor. Talk to people. Patience. You know, I got this coin the other day, which was really, it was an amazing coin. And I didn't get the coin. Someone posted it in my feed on Facebook. You know, I posted there, you know, I was celebrating, and someone posted this cool coin, and on the back of the coin it basically just has the steps, or it says, you know, step 1 through 12, and then next to each little word, step 1, step 2, it says basically kind of a word that wraps up that step. And for the first step, it's acceptance. The second step, faith, creating that relationship with a higher power. Step 3, surrender and trust. I can't, you can, I'll let you. And I'm going to trust that. I can't, you can, and I'm going to trust that. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning it over to you. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning it over to you. That's saying, I surrender. And I trust that it's you're going to take care of it. And the fourth step, honesty. You know, doing that fourth step, that hard look. You know. And then the fifth step, the courage. You know, sitting down with somebody and sharing all of your dirty laundry. That takes courage. Step 6, willingness. I mean, if you're into the sixth step, you're into this a bit. Are you willing? And then the seventh step, humility. That's the big one, really. Step 8, forgiveness. Step 9, the freedom. Step 10, perseverance. I'm going to do everything I can do to make sure that this continues, keeping my side of the street clean. Step 11, patience. That relationship with the higher power, meditation. A major Easter egg for me. A lot of that I learned through running. Very good. And then step 12, clarify and love. I'm assuming clarify means clarify my role. Having finished all of these steps, it is now my job to be there for the next person, to have my hand out for the next person that shows up. Unconditional love. Unconditional love. You got to do all 12. Your job is not to just fix you, it's to be there for the next person. Merry Christmas. Have a great day.